Laura Ingraham, weekday mornings, 9 till noon on KSRO. Now with the opposing view, back to the drive with Steve Jackson on KSRO.
All right, it is your Monday drive, and this is the final edition of Michael Fiumara's turn at Justice Gone Wild. And go ahead and explain to people so everyone knows why.
Oh, I wasn't drilled out or drummed out because of some controversy. That would never be the reason.
No, we're not firing him. He's not quitting.
No, not a quitter.
Nope.
No, I have family matters that are taking first and center. Family first. Remember that good conservative Christian organization? They always say family first. Well, I mean it this time. I don't have to play a label or whatever. I have a family issue that I'm taking care of, and it's a home care issue. And like I said, family's first. And the KSRO understands, and I really thank them for their understanding.
Well, we thank you for all your great work, not only in the community, but here on Justice Gone Wild on Mondays. We'll miss you, man.
Well, I'm going to miss you, and I'm going to miss this whole ice box, which you call a...
I actually turned it down or up a little bit, so it's about 70 instead of 36.
Well, that's why I'm not wearing a suit. I'm wearing a sweater, a thick sweater, and almost a vest.
Well, I'll have to get up at during the break and make it colder because it's starting to get a little too warm for me.
Oh, there'll be a lot of hot air going on here, right?
Yeah.
What you're saying?
Well, let's begin with... Well, no, this is going to take too long, and we got to do the break, right? All right. You want to talk about it? Oh, he's about to give me 10 fingers.
What's that?
Now he's pulling them back. I want to get into the Community and Local Law Enforcement Task Force draft recommendations that just came out. Within a month, it's going finally, after more than a year, to the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors.
Right. This was unveiled at the Los Cien. It's an organization of Latino leaders at the Flamingo Hotel this past Friday. What I did was I put together a list of all the different charts and tables, because I think everyone in this community should know that there is something going on with this composition task force, which there's each supervisor has three appointments. The district attorney has one, the mayor two, and the sheriff three. I was sitting on the table with Lisa Maldonado. She couldn't make it tonight. She was going to be here. And she basically screamed out, like,
North Bay Labor Council.
Right, North Bay Labor Council. And I'm Michael Fiumara, just a lonely attorney here. But I just found out that she was, like, the most powerful and most out there person I've ever seen. She basically said, enough's enough. You know, no more window dressing here. No more, you know, talk about transparency, because that was the big issue. What are we going to do to stop the killings? And I agree with her wholeheartedly. What are we going to do? I want to know if there's a budget for cameras and for real transparency, for real tools that are going to make a big difference. That's what I would like to see. And I'd like to see a budget and real money appropriated for these things that need to happen to make it happen quickly. Nobody wants to wait a long time. We waited since the commission in 2000 and nothing's happened.
No, and you're right. Money and the budget... Financing is
crucial.
Is so crucial. I mean, they've spent over a year and they've come up with some great recommendations, which we'll go through, not in a charts and graphs on the radio kind of thing,
no,
but
boring.
We'll discuss it when we come back. Justice Gone Wild. Michael Fiumara on the drive.
Now more of the drive with Steve Jackson on Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
All right, it's 5:40 on your Monday drive. The final version of Justice Gone Wild with attorney Michael Fiumara. Again, for people just joining us, explain why you just can't do it right now.
I just can't do it because I'm looking at you dialed in, KSRO, Steve Jackson. This Bohemian article's great. This is great publicity. That's why I can't do it anymore. You've overshadowed me. What can I say? Actually, I have family issues that I'm taking first priority, and it's something that I want to do, and I'm glad to have had this opportunity, as short as it may be, to actually be the voice of those who are sometimes underrepresented, no voice at all, and disenfranchised, marginalized, you may name it, and also us middle class people who are actually getting eviscerated by the economy and all the other hidden problems that are going on. It's whether it's unions being cut to pieces, corporate greed, a whole bunch of structural issues. So we're all in it together. I try to keep it that way.
All right, right on. Let's switch microphones, Mike. Go ahead and go into that one.
All right.
There we go. That's much better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyway, I was just saying, I got cut off from my own friends over here. I don't even need my detractors to cut off the voice that represents the disenfranchised, the hungry, the poor, the people who don't have a voice.
Now, again, before the break, I mentioned the Community and Local Law Enforcement Task Force for Sonoma County came up with their draft recommendations. There was a meeting on Friday. They released a lot of this information. Michael Fiumara was there. There's a lot to go through, and we can't do that right here, but there are highlights that I want to talk about, that in about a month, all this will be finalized, at least from the committees and the task force standpoint, and be sent to the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors for their response. And as you pointed out, and I agree with completely, this can't just be lip service. This just can't be something that they look at and go, yeah, we'd love to do that, but we can't afford it. They really are going to have to delve into this amongst all the other heavy topics and projects that they have to deal with on the Board of Supervisors. But this is going to be an interesting year to see how this all unfolds. Now, as far as their recommendations on community policing, number one is improve critical incident response. Can you go into that a little bit?
Let me just say, first of all, the task force has three different three different committees, and one of them is called Community Engagement and Healing. I know healing, that one was a little amorphous, but forget that for a second. Community policing, and that's the one we're going to focus in on. And remember, there's also law enforcement accountability. There's three committees or subcommittees for this task force. The most important one, I think, would be community policing, with the law enforcement accountability coming in, especially if we use models from San Jose or other cities. But getting back to community policing, I see that it can't just be incremental steps, like the chair said. She said, you know, we're going to get incremental, changes. We're tired of incremental changes. There were people that were outraged at the meeting who were sitting next to me who said, no, you have to stop the police killings. You need to do something affirmative, something like the cameras, like I said, body cameras, anything that's going to reduce the number of disputes and killings, and also better training, better mental health training. All that's going to take time and money and a budget. But getting to police, community policing, the whole thing, I think, is almost a smokescreen about it getting to the scene quicker. I mean, that's not going to really make such a big difference. You just read that about making the initiative or the time frame a little bit shorter. That's not the issue here. That, to me, is just a side issue. The real issue is better trained officers and those who carry the cameras and transparency, so they can prove that they had no choice but to use lethal force. That's really the issue.
You've mentioned this before. We've talked about this, as far as, especially when it comes to mental health issues. You've had clients. Explain that.
Yeah, our clients come into our office. Their parents usually call to say, look, my son has a drug addiction and it's gotten worse, and they have prescription medication. They're getting it from Kaiser. They're not getting it from Kaiser. They're not getting appointments. They have a meltdown. The parents basically call and say, look, I want you to come and help out. They're not a danger to themselves or to others. The police come, and sometimes the officer or officers are a little heavy-handed, and it makes the person who has a mental disability and a problem with
more agitated,
exactly,
and aggressive.
It sure does. It really,
because they're scared.
Very scared, and very scared of police officers. My sister, who works at one of the local facilities here, Creekside, says many of the people there are scared of cops. That's all they talk about. They're afraid because their experiences have been so bad. She doesn't carry a gun or a baton or anything. She has to use her social skills. And now I hear there's a number, 211, you call instead of the 911 or the police. But we really need to know that someone well-trained and who is going to be sensitive to these needs are going to be there and at least try to de-escalate the situation instead of the opposite.
And that comes under improved critical incident response. Community policing, number two, enhance law enforcement programs and activities. Now, Of course, I think...
That would be nice if there were more Latino cops. It came out that the question was posed to, I think, the chairman there, Ms. Banuelos, who I've known for a long time, Caroline. There's only, I think, 8 or 9% of the police officers or law enforcement on the street that are Latino or even speaks, who knows, there might even be a lesser number of those who speak Spanish fluently. And yet the population in this city or this county, let's say the county of Sonoma, is approaching 30-35%. So we really have a little bit of a misconnect here, a disconnect. And something needs to be done to bridge that gap.
Yeah. New law enforcement programs and activities to engage and support communities are warranted. And that just totally makes sense. And that segues into improved community outreach and engagement. Those two are aligned.
They parlay into one another, yeah, and they make the situation better. But we have models to go by, and one of them that was mentioned was San Jose. I never looked at their model per se, but it sounds like it has an overview and it has complaints that are taken by the population, and they're actually addressed in maybe a mediation format, so it's not so confrontational. Sometimes the police officer or law enforcement officer needs to know that what they did was not exactly the best in that situation. It's a learning experience, and we shouldn't be so intent on just crucifying everybody. We have to have a little bit of give and take. As long as there's not a shooting and a death, I mean, we have that room for give and take. And I think that's what some of the committee members want. But others are real old school, and they're saying, let's all be nice now. Well, I'm sorry, that's a little bit too late to
Can't
be all nice now.
Can't we all get along? Yeah.
Rodney King, thank you.
Develop a Moreland neighborhood pilot project. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
I can explain. What they're looking at is a plan to have maybe two, maybe it's three, designated police law enforcement
just
personnel.
Just for that area.
Just for that area, so that they get to know the community. Okay. Community feels engaged, and there's a trust. And a trust means people are going to work more effectively with the police for the dollar that we spend. It makes a lot of sense. It's like the old beat cops on the corner.
Right, and in fact, we've discussed that with Hank Schreeder, the chief of police of Santa Rosa.
Right.
And he's all for that.
Right, and I am too. It works.
Yeah.
It worked in New York. It worked in Philadelphia. It worked in some other smaller places.
The old beat cops who knew the neighborhood, and people liked them. They interacted. And
that's
everybody,
right.
You know, that was...
Even grandma made some cookies or spaghetti or whatever it was. Yeah. It should be nice. I like some of that.
Improve hiring, training, and cultural diversity. Well, that's a no-brainer, obviously. Enhance alternative use of force practices.
Well, that's a big one here because there's batons, there's all kinds of stun
tasers
guns and tasers, and you know, there's different varieties of them, and when to use them, when not to, especially if you know someone's real hyper and they're on drugs or they have a heart condition. You stun them, especially 20 times, like a recent case. I think there's an attorney taking a case right now where the inside the jail, he was stunned 20 some odd times or tased with those barbs within a very short period of time, maybe 30 minutes. To me, that seems excessive. It seems brutal. It seems more like torture than it does law enforcement. So maybe, you know, something's wrong. I heard that, yes, he was disrespectful to the nurse, may have pulled back or kicked, or maybe that was involuntary, who knows, but to be
repetitive,
right?
Stunning, it's once he's down.
Exactly, sounds brutal.
Number 7 on the community policing subcommittee is improve hiring practices, which goes along with everything we've just been talking about, and what you just mentioned about the percentage of Latinos in law enforcement in the county is not nearly where it should be.
Right. They said something about 9.5%, but we've had occasion where the surname was Latino, a Mexican-American law enforcement officer, but did not speak Spanish, was not even culturally involved in the community. I know that sounds...
No, it makes no sense.
It doesn't, but that's why that number's a little high. And I also think 23.1% of the county's population, it depends. There are some areas that are heavily Latino, maybe 40% in some areas of even West Santa Rosa. So we have to be careful with statistics. They can lie real well. But I really would like to make certain that there's an opportunity for young officers or young Latino men and women, I don't care who it is, transgender, gay, lesbian, whatever it might be, whoever is qualified, actually apply and be encouraged to represent this community and do a good job. That's all we want is competency and somebody well trained. That's what it's all about.
But now go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that unfortunately, because of our criminalization of our society, and it really does work that way, many Latino young men feel that they just had, because they have one little, juvenile record or some small quip with the law, that they are all of a sudden disqualified. That's not the case. There is a way of getting those records expunged, and we've done those before for people who want to go into law enforcement and to other government work. So that shouldn't discourage kids.
All right, there is the Community Engagement and Healing Subcommittee, and we won't go through all this, but let me just give you their topics. Counseling and mental health, community forums, pilot mural program, and we've talked about all these with the head of the subcommittee, whose name I'm having a senior moment on, but she's been with us all the time, my friend from Detroit. Even Mike's having a senior, he's having a junior moment. Judy Rice, of course. Sorry, Judy.
No, Judy is the chair of that,
yes.
And she spoke eloquently about these programs.
She always does. The pilot public art program in Roseland, I think that's a wonderful idea. The Social Action Music Center, counting on the county supervisors to convene a series of at least three meetings to establish the feasibility of the creation of a Sonoma County Social Action Music Center. Of course, that's all great. A student congress. These are things that cost a lot of money. Well,
not necessarily. Some of them will be funded by quasi-private public.
Well, yeah, that's
piggybacking and working together. Did you know someone from the symphony, the Santa Rosa Symphony, was there that day talking about how some of these young, talented Latino musicians and so on and so forth could get integrated? There's scholarships, there's money, and there's all kinds of organizations. I thought some of our ideas were very innovative and very good. I just think that we should put the horse before the cart and really get some of the bigger problems done, and then these programs are going to work fine. It's just that these programs will work well, especially over time, and we need to get these programs into the schools. Art and music, it needs to go back, and also the museum over there, the Children's Museum on West Steel Lane, that's incredible. I know I gave some money for that when they started. That's going to be an incredible impetus for learning and innovation and inventions.
All right, we got to take one last look at traffic with Michael Green. All right, if I'd really been thinking, I would have began with the big 10,000-pound elephant in the room, and now we're going to run out of time, but that is the Law Enforcement Accountability Subcommittee. All right, independent review of law enforcement. They recommend that the Board of Supervisors establish an Office of Independent Auditor, Office of Independent Auditor Youth Council, and a Citizens Advisory Committee. The concept of this is taken in large measure from the Office of the Independent Police Auditor that exists in the city of San Jose. They've looked at all the different cities.
And models, you're right, yeah. They have. And the best one is San Jose.
So, yeah, that's what they felt. So that's going to be important. Feasibility of a grand jury as oversight body. The current system, where a civil grand jury is periodically impaneled, is not suited to provide the type of independent review of law enforcement determined to be needed. We know that. We've talked about it.
Absolutely.
You and I have,
remember?
There's not enough money.
Expertise? None.
Expertise, no.
Sometimes there's nothing. And they don't come up with maybe the answers that really a modern, evolving community
and
needs.
And all due respect to the people who serve on the grand jury, they have said, we can't do this. There's no money. There's no expertise.
Exactly.
Et cetera. So that's just not going to work. Now, the other one is separating the office of the coroner from the office of the sheriff. We've been talking about this for months on this show. You and I have discussed it. I think it's insane.
It's a conflict of interest, and everybody knows that. But
everywhere else I lived in my life that I can remember, I mean, I can't remember any place where the coroner wasn't a doctor, separate. You know, the sheriff, all due respect to Steve
right.
Freitas, is not a doctor or has anything to do with medicine.
True. Very true.
I think this is a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, but you see, the grand jury is it's already an established system, too, and that has to be changed by the legislature. But getting back to the coroner and the sheriff, you know, you can have a pathologist, you can have an expert there who would be hired, but then again, who's going to hire that person? Where's the conflict? Where does it lie at that point? So that's where the it's where the money comes from. So maybe the Board of Supervisors will have to restructure this in lieu of changing the actual charter for the county or doing something else.
It may have to be voted on.
That's right.
By us.
That's correct.
But seriously, I mean, why? I've never understood why the coroner is not a doctor.
Well, and
I know they farm it out to doctors, but you know what I mean?
I do. There's some places in the South where this has been a problem, but that's where you can expect that to be a problem, but not here in Sonoma County.
Well, there's so much to take in, and this is going to, again, it should be late next month at the latest that this all gets to the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, and then Lord knows how long it's going to take for them to go through all this. There's a lot to go through, and they're kind of busy, but this is a priority. They establish this task force.
Right.
Over a year ago.
And they didn't talk about the park or any of that. I know that's been a controversial point.
No, that was keep going, but we have
right.
1 minute.
Well, the park is
as
something.
As opposed to stop talking.
Well, the park is something that I'd like to see happen, and I don't care what the real name
the
is,
park,
but
yeah.
I want to see the groups of children and adults and law enforcement and everybody there enjoying it, and we'll call it Peace Park or yeah. something nice. But, you know, Andy Lopez, a statue of him and maybe someone in law enforcement as well. Everybody's a hero when it comes to life and living life. We have to be a little bit more open-minded, but I really think that park has to be a showpiece for the neighborhood.
Michael Fiumara, Fiumara.com for his wonderful law firm, Fiumara. Well, we've had a great time doing Justice Gone Wild. Best of luck with your family situation, and I wish we could keep doing it, but we will be in touch.
I hope so.
You'll still be joining us on this segment, if not other segments where we need your input.
I really look forward to it, and thank you very much, Steve.
All right. That's it for the Monday Drive. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We've got, let's see, all the folks who won Academy Awards will be joining us tomorrow.
This is Sonoma County.